This is, as I said, the last Sunday after the Epiphany, and the scripture lesson for today, the Gospel, tells a story of what is known as the Transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop. It is the moment that God's glory surrounds Jesus, and he shines with the radiance of God's love. It is the moment that he is proclaimed to be the divine Son of God. And that becomes very apparent when God's voice breaks through the cloud and says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am very pleased. Listen to him." And the disciples who were there with him fell down in awe and covered their faces. And then when they looked again, there was Jesus standing alone and appearing as they had always known him. And the moment of glory had passed. The mountaintop experience was over. Now, for those of you who have been with us all the way through the Epiphany and listening to various gospel readings throughout Epiphany, the gospel we just heard might strike a familiar chord. And if so, it harkens back to the first Sunday of Epiphany, when we heard Matthew talk to us about the baptism of Jesus. And if you remember, at that moment that Jesus comes out of the water, he saw the heavens part and a spirit descended upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." It was that moment that inaugurated Jesus' calling to teach and preach and heal in God's name. And in the 3 years following that event, Jesus witnessed through word and deed that he was indeed Son of God. He had been blessed by God and had become a faithful servant by putting his faith into action. And so, chosen by God at his baptism, 3 years later on the mountaintop, Jesus now finds his mission confirmed with the same words. Seemingly, God is acknowledging the faithfulness of Jesus' witness up to that point and is now commissioning him to embark on the last leg of his earthly journey, one that will lead him to Jerusalem and to the cross. If his baptism inaugurated his ministry in Galilee, for Jesus, this mountaintop experience propels him to complete the mission that he has, a mission of reconciliation and restoration that will only come about through his death on the cross and subsequent resurrection. The mountaintop experience may be over, but Jesus' mission lies before him. Having said that, I want to ask a question. Is our journey of faith so different from Jesus? Now, granted, ours may pale in comparison, yet I think there is a connection. After all, at our baptism, didn't God proclaim to each one of us, "You are my child, my beloved, and in you I am well pleased"? And in the baptismal covenant that preceded that moment, didn't we promise through the witness of our parents and godparents and affirmed at our confirmation to preach and teach and act in God's name? And haven't each one of us experienced a moment, even one moment, when we felt God's presence in some way, assuring us that God is close to us, with us, and somehow connected to us? And doesn't that reflect, imperfectly granted, but reflect the journey of Jesus? As we hear about Jesus' transformation, I suggest that we reflect on our own lives and how we too have encountered God in a special moment in our own transfiguration. Just as each one of us is unique, so too are the ways in which God has touched us. And they might very well and probably will be very different than the way he touched Jesus. The encounter we have had might have been dramatic, or it might have come in quiet, subdued ways. It may have come in a moment of joy, or maybe a quiet assurance in the midst of pain or suffering. It may have been accompanied by a sign or a miracle, or perhaps simply a deep sense of inner peace or well-being. It may have resulted in a change of behavior for us, or simply offered us a new perspective, an aha moment. However it occurred, I have to believe that each one of us here today has been touched by God in some very tangible way. And each of us, therefore, has a story to tell, a story that reveals God's presence in our lives, that has changed us in some way, greater or smaller. And because we have changed, we have something to share with the world. And so this morning I ask each of you, what is your story? Those stories evolve out of the special moments that we've had. And those special moments are filled with some sense that we are beloved. We are connected to God. We are really one with God. Those are our mountaintop experiences, no matter how dramatic or how humble they may have been. They are our mountaintop experiences because they are moments that we have been connected to God in our own special way. And when that happened, didn't we wish that it would continue with us for the rest of our lives? That we could hold on to that moment? And like the disciples on the mountain, we want to freeze that moment, to stay on those heights forever. Forget about the world below, where life and faith are a constant struggle. But just like with Jesus, that's not God's way. We can never stay in those moments. Because what God has for each one of us is God tells us we have to come down the mountain, back into the world, back into the pain and suffering that the world offers. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. Immediately after the moment had passed on that transfiguration, Jesus and the disciples came down from the mountain. But what we didn't hear in the gospel this morning, but which is the next portion of that gospel, reveals to us that waiting at the foot of the mountain was a young boy racked with convulsions. And as Jesus passes by, Jesus pauses and heals him. Heals his suffering, heals his pain, and then goes on his way toward Jerusalem to suffer his own suffering and pain that awaits him there, healing and teaching as he goes. And what's so important for me about that part of the story is that for the sake of that young boy, and for our sakes as well, it is such a wonderful thing that what happened on the mountaintop was not the apex of Jesus' life and ministry. Because what good would it do for us if our faith in Jesus Christ were limited to a commemorating moment on a mountaintop when the glory of God shone through the face of Jesus alone? when Jesus experienced the fullness of communion with God. But instead, Jesus, filled with the transforming love and glory of God, came down from that mountain, down into the valley where you and I live and suffer and die. Jesus came down the mountain to commune with us in our suffering, to offer us healing, and to touch our lives with God's glory. And that's what the transfiguration of Jesus is all about. Not a moment that we can stand there and gaze at Jesus in all his glory, as much as to give thanks to God that he came down the mountain to be with us and to share his glory with us in our lives, easing our suffering and our pain. But then what do mountaintop experiences offer us in our lives? Well, in part, they remind us of God's promise bestowed on us at our baptism. You are my child. You are my beloved. I am pleased with you. And as we say in the baptism service, and you are marked as Christ's own forever. Our mountaintop experiences remind us also that not only are we beloved, but that God is with us. In any moment in the midst of chaos, God is there, shining through the cloud, breaking through the darkness, shining God's light and God's glory on us. And that glory comes to us whether in moments of joy or in the midst of the chaos in life. God is with us. Those mountaintop experiences, I think, are meant to strengthen us as we find ourselves consumed down below by the trials and tribulations of our lives. And in those moments, especially in those moments, we must never forget that our journey of faith is not one that simply seeks personal gratification, but rather those spiritual experiences that we have ground us so in faith, ground us in God's love, that help us to develop a deeper relationship with God so that we might become part of God's mission in the world, that we might share God's glory with those in whom we touch, that we might be true to our vision that seeks to welcome and serve and connect with the people God places in our lives. Thank God. You see, I think that God prepares people in the transcendent moments of our lives so that we might endure the world below, the world of the cross, the world that has the ability too often to break us. Those moments assure us that no matter what is to come, nothing will separate us from God's love. And more subtly, those moments offer us the paradox that while there is nothing we can do to save ourselves from suffering, there's also no way we can shield ourselves from the light of God that sheds hope in the darkest moments of our lives. God will break through any darkness and shed God's life on us. So for a moment, on this last Sunday of the Epiphany, I invite you to remember your own moments of connection with God, your transfiguration moments, if you will, no matter how small or how large they may be. And allow yourselves to reflect on and bask in those experiences. Hold on to them. And allow them to assure you that you are beloved of God. That God is indeed present in your life. And that God will walk with you every step of the way as you journey forward from this day forth and forevermore. Later this week, on Ash Wednesday, we are going to gather to observe a Holy Lent through prayer, dedication, and service. And I want you to remember the mountaintop experiences of your life when you come to services on that day. Because it's on that day that Jesus, having come down from the mountaintop, says, "Come, follow me." Reminding us that our mission is here in the world, not up there on the mountaintop. And at that Ash Wednesday service, I want you to remember and imagine Jesus calling us to come down from the mountain, go into the world of pain and suffering, enter into the lives of people, and bring them hope in God's name. Serve others as Jesus serves us. Love others as Jesus and God loves us. And you can imagine Jesus saying, "Work with me to restore God's kingdom by seeking to reconcile people to one another, by seeking justice, by creating peace, and exhibiting forgiveness. And follow me to the cross, for there where you will find life." I think that's the road we are called to follow, just like that was the road Jesus followed when he came down from the mountaintop. And we're called to follow that road too, not only because life leads that way to pain and suffering, but also because that way of pain and suffering leads to life. New and eternal life in communion with and in the presence of God, who enters our life not just on the mountaintop, but in the everyday life of our existence. In the presence of God, who has demonstrated on the cross that God loves each one of us more than life itself. And in the name of that triune God who has loved us and called us children, amen.